This episode of Where Did the Road Go is brought to you in part by our Patreons. If you want to become a patron, go to wheredidtheroadgo.com. And now our show.
Transmission start. Welcome to Where Did the Road Go? Join us as we wander off the path and explore lost history, consciousness, the paranormal, unexplained mysteries, alternative thought, and much more. We are present on the web at wheredidtheroadgo.com. Now here is your host, Soraya.
Welcome to this edition of Where Did the Road Go? Tonight I have Mr. Timothy Renner joining me. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how's it going?
And you set up this talk here with our friend Clint Granberry. And how are you tonight, Clint?
Very well, very well. Thanks for having me.
And you do a podcast called OK Talk.
Yes, sir. A terribly named podcast that is neither about Oklahoma and hopefully is better than okay. But we talk about the strange. We like to identify ourselves as legend trippers, people who go out and seek out good stories and then report them back. And then we also have a little bit of fun on our show.
Hmm. Yeah, you kind of just go with it where you want, huh?
Yeah, the both of us are radio vets like yourself, and we worked together for almost 10 years on a major morning show in Dallas, Texas. I believe is Market 5, if you want to know the truth. And we always found that the show that we were doing off the air was way better than what was going on over the speakers. You know how that is.
Uh-huh.
I know you know how that is. And yeah, we have a penchant for the weird, and I like to, or just seem to have the knack for getting myself in very strange situations and meeting odd and unbelievable people. And Matt is the perfect straight man because he never looks at me like I'm crazy. Well, I can't say that. He looks at me like I'm crazy quite a bit, but he never judges me. And he's very open-minded, and we like to discuss and talk things out. I'm one of these people that don't believe that everything that is spooky and weird and odd is over. I think that the world around us is intriguing and fascinating and full of mystery, and all you have to do is pay attention to it and it will speak to you.
So when you say some people think that strange stuff is over, what do you mean?
Well, there, and I don't want to get too religious with you, but being a person who has been around various faiths in my day, there is sort of a sense in, especially in that community, that yeah, miracles and fantastical stuff happened, but that was all in the past. And I do think that there is a continued attempt, for whatever reason, to take the magic out of the world. I love science. I'm a big fan of science. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I do believe that science will also almost act like a detractor of the mystical. And I do have this feeling that when strange things are occurring around you, or even if it's just serendipity, occurrences, coincidences that I don't believe in, that kind of thing, those are things that are trying to react with you. And if you pay attention to them, they will continue to react with you. But there seems to be just this, everything's explainable by science. We've figured out everything. We know everything. And let's be honest, there's a lot of things in the strange world that we live in that are pushed across on the media that give people the right to say, yeah, that's a load of horse-ass. There's shows on television that are terrible. There's very, very poor production and a lot of different ends of the earth. And those kinds of things, I think, contribute to that. So I don't think that everyone believes that. And I certainly wouldn't think that someone who's listening to your podcast or the radio show would listen to that, feel that way. But there is an overall feeling, I think, in the world that, for instance, you know, I don't know, you say you're going to go to a place in Washington and strange things would occur there, but I'm not so sure that that's true. Maybe it's just a bear. Maybe it's just a deer. That ghost is just your water heater. We've all heard that, right?
Sure.
So it's I do think, obviously, there are people that are of like mind that know that the world is interacting with us in very, very strange ways constantly. But we do also operate in a society that does not like to deal with the things that they can't explain. And that is essentially what we like to talk about. Those are the strangely familiar aspects of the world.
Fair enough. So now you have a location, kind of like Site Tim has with Site 7, where there's been a lot of activity and a lot of it's been recorded.
Yeah, it's really strange how this kind of stuff works. And everything that we've done on the podcast has been, it's a path. It's once you go down it, once you start to talk to people, you meet other people. I stumbled upon meeting a very, very, very good human being by the name of David Ellis, who is a member of the Olympic Project in the state of Washington, through Cliff Berrickman of the television show Finding Bigfoot, because I had a very strange occurrence in the state of Arkansas while being out in the woods near Falk, Arkansas. And I had something, just audio that I had captured that really weirded me out. And Cliff told me you should send this to David. I get a hold of David Ellis and we hit it off. We're friends. And he starts telling me that he's actively investigating and had been for 2 years at that point. It's weird. When he first told me about this place, I imagined a shack in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, that's in my mind's eye. The way that this place was described sounded so terrifying that it sounded like a place that you wouldn't want to go. In fact, it's a homestead on a large amount of land near the Olympic Peninsula. And the people who have purchased this place, it was used as a vacation home before they bought it for nearly 4 years. So it was basically abandoned, used maybe once or twice a year. They buy the place. It's amazing. It's really, really nice. Great views, lots of land, good spaces. And within a couple of weeks, they had very strange things happening that, again, they were looking for every reason to come up with any idea as to what that would be. I'm talking about barn doors opened and latches pulled and strange sounds in the woods and whatever. And it just so happened that within the first, they moved in September. By December, one night, driving up the road to their house, the wife, Donna, was looking out the window of the passenger seat and saw, for lack of a better term, 10 feet away, standing next to a tree near a creek, a Sasquatch, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. And very detailed. And these people are the opposite of the people who are, hey, I've got big feet coming up to my house every day, man. They put a put a pizza out last night. I played checkers with him. I can't take a picture of him.
Right.
Because if I do, then I break their trust. But you know what I'm saying. It's weird. So we all have heard those stories.
Mm-hmm.
And The crazy thing is these people are the opposite of that. Not only are they not crazy, they're professionals, high-ranking professionals in their line of work, and were not interested at all in anyone knowing anything about this. The fact of the matter was, she sees this thing, and it all starts to click kind of quite a right away, that the noises they've been hearing, the things that have been happening, and they have animals on the property, goats, chickens, dogs, the weird stuff that had been going on. Like, oh my, her response was, I can't believe they're real, OMG, cuss words, and she doesn't cuss. So at this point, they did what some people will do up there. She sat down at a computer and Googled Bigfoot, Washington, and the Olympic Project came up. She contacted Derek Randles, who is the founder. And again, Derek Randles, an amazing businessman, completely normal human beings. One of the reasons that I really like those guys is they are so low-key in their approach to the whole aspect. But she gets a hold of these people. They come out, they look around, and they find evidence almost immediately that there's a large ravine that runs next to their house, which ends up, I think, being the key to the story, because they live about a mile up from sea level on this kind of wicked little hill, and there's water coming out of that mountain, and this ravine that runs up is 14 to 16 feet deep in different areas, and it almost acts like a roadway. And when the guys got down in there, they found tracks. They heard noises just with them getting down into the ravine from vocalizations. So their approach was, here you go, here's a recorder, put this out on your deck every night, and in the morning, plug it in, send me the file, I'll take a look at it, and we'll go from there. And the most magical thing about this place is that it is documented for years. For, I think we discussed, she basically recorded 365 every night, starting at dusk until the morning. And her husband has a job that requires her to be there by herself quite a bit. And you would think, oh, woman in distress. No, but see, that's the thing. That's not Donna. Donna was a former Nat Geo photographer. She's filmed anacondas in the wilds of the Amazon. She's a beast of a woman. And she got to a point where not only was she scared to go outside at night, she was scared to go downstairs. And this is exactly opposite of this person. And it got to a point where they moved. They attempted to sell the house. They bought a farm. They moved away. And for whatever strange reason, it is still, they're still carrying two notes. They had a couple that they rent, that they knew that they rented the house to for about a year. But they, it was too much. And the amount of audio evidence that they captured, it blows my mind. I mean, we work in an audio medium, Soraya.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot of things. And the breadth of the audio that they've captured, I'm not talking about this is like an every night thing. This isn't the guy going out in his yard and let's cook a pizza for Bigfoot and go play checkers with him. They would go weeks where nothing would happen. There seemed to be some sort of a pattern that right about this time of year, things would pick up. And her sighting actually happened right at the beginning of December, her first sighting. And what you started to notice is that the same characters were coming up. Voices from 6 months ago would show back up saying the same things, or you could seriously tell that it was the same vocalization, I guess. And we're talking about everything from yells, screams, knocks, whoops, to voices. How am I doing so far?
Well, good.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's one of those things. It sounds fantastical. And the one thing with me and my approach to these kinds of things, I don't immediately dismiss anything.
Right.
I mean, you could tell me you had a dragon in your backyard. Now, I may talk to you a few times, and if I decide at some point that I'm not exactly sure if he's talking about a dragon in his backyard or if he played too many video games the night before, you know, I'm trying right. to figure out how we're what your approach is. Every single time that I spoke to these people on the phone, what was their desire to, we're talking about 2 years ago at this point that I started talking to them. Some of this audio that I have right here is from 2015. They had no desire to be known.
Mm-hmm.
What is the purpose of, what would be the reason that you would make this stuff up? And then how do you make this stuff up? It became one of those things where I immediately got this feeling that whatever was happening up there, they weren't lying about any of it. I could hear in the both of them the almost the shock and awe of the activity around them. And it became real personal.
How so?
As Greg told me, her husband, I mean, he said, yeah, a lot of that audio, the screams and the weird voices or the mumblings or the whoops and the knocks and all that stuff, that's one thing. But when they captured a voice calling their dog's name in the same cadence that he would do when he was 2,000 miles away on a business trip, completely changed the way that he viewed this.
Mm.
And
so it was mimicking.
Right. In fact, I know that I said that we should maybe end with this, but maybe as the gripping hook, if you want, I can play this clip. They have two dogs at the time by the name of Layla and Bridget.
Mm-hmm.
And the property is on a very steep slope. It's a very, very nice house, very large and multi-storied with a great view down a mountainside, beautiful vistas. And so after seeing this thing, Donna immediately was intimidated with letting the dogs out. But they have a couple of dogs. They have, like I said, they have chickens, they have goats, they have a barn down there. This was captured in December of 2014. And when Greg would go let the dogs out, when he was home and he would go to get them, he would say, Layla, Bridget. So December 10th of 2014, after recording that evening, they played the audio back the next morning, and this is what they had captured.
Yeah, that's definitely creepy.
And you can imagine being a husband and how powerless you must feel. Like I said, Dawn is not a frightened woman. But here he is on the road 4 or 5 nights a week. And your wife is, guess what? Last night happened. It's really a fascinating place, but it's a fascinating story because I think that at the end of the day, I have no idea how she lasted as long as she did. Because what eventually happened is shortly after meeting them, they had already moved out of the house. I met them over the phone a couple of times and we had them on our podcast. And just if you're listening and you want to check that out, it's called Devil's Creek, an American Horror Story. And this was really the first time that they had told their story. And we barely scratched the surface. What amazed me was the amount of audio that was captured. It was kind of incredible. And there seemed to be an encyclopedia of all different kinds of audio, and some of it would match up, and some of it made absolutely no sense, and some of it was crazy. And you start to go through things, and you're trying to figure out how this could be maybe something else. This would be this or that. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, I've heard things in the woods that ended up being something else. A fox, sure, a red fox, sure, can make really weird noises, right?
Cougars can make weird noises. Coyotes can make bizarre noises.
Right, right. When you start to hear things that are saying names, and I guess I'm being a radio guy, right? One of the things that I do is I do voices. I do commercial voices. And I have this weird ear, the little mockingbird thing, where when I'm watching a television show with my daughter, I can see a cartoon and I can see a character, and then I'll watch another one and I know that that person is the same person that does that one. Mm-hmm. I can just tell who it is. The thing that struck me was that I've heard about 8 different quote unquote people at this place. There seemed, and the dates are there, and it was mind bending. And so I went up to Washington. This would have been October of, 2016. And my friend David picked me up at the airport. We drove out there. Again, there's really nothing there except the electricity was on. The house was on the market. And I'll just say this. Within the first 15 minutes of us being there, there were things occurring. There was, I heard noises immediately. We found strange things in the yard. David got whistled at. And that night, I turned a fantasy football podcast on as loud as it would go with my headphones and put my head under the covers. And I'm not a frightened boy. And from there, we ended up, it culminated in the two of us, David and myself, being outside and saying David's dog's name, and ended up playing the audio 30 minutes later. And what seemed like we captured something saying those names.
Yeah. And
at that point, you get to these points, man, where you're like, where did the road go? Because that's the way I felt. That's not just a promo for the show, although it is an awesome promo for your show. Radio is all about promotion, folks. But that is literally the way that I felt. You get to a point in your life where you think that you have things figured out, and you get torn down and do it again, and we've all been there. This was one of those things where I couldn't wrap my mind around it. I couldn't figure out. I witnessed it there there was no faking it. There was no, I saw it, you know, I saw the recorder. I heard things outside. I said, go get that recorder, put it in the computer right now because something is happening. And we play it and the things are saying the things that we said 30 minutes earlier.
Hmm.
And I don't know how to describe that.
Now, she saw a Sasquatch. Has anyone else seen a Sasquatch on the property, or has it all been sounds and such since?
So it's interesting. This just so happens to be, there is a, how would you say this? Like, a, if you map the sighting reports in the state of Washington, and, you know, like with a pen, right? Like digitally, like boom, 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 boom. There's a beltway that runs through the state that this place is square in the middle of. Hmm. What ends up, what we would end up to find is that the history of sightings in that area go back all the way to the natives. The terminology for the area all hinted towards that skookum, those native words for the Sasquatch. But what's interesting is, so they, like I said, they had obviously moved away. They put the house up for sale. They didn't get an offer. They rented it out to these friends of theirs. They lived there 10, 11 months. They moved out earlier this year. They were doing some renovations on the home. And this is, what, like 3 weeks ago? Maybe 2-3 weeks ago? They are, there's random people at the property replacing the wooden flooring in what they call the man cave, which is this really kick-ass area over the garage. And there had been a leak up there. They're putting some new wood floors in. And Donna doesn't go there. She does not like to go there. I'll just say this. The first time that I was there, Greg came out to the house and saw me, but Donna wouldn't come out. She's that apprehensive about just being there. It makes, she has like the PTSD thing from being there. And so Greg comes to the property to pay the guys that are working. And they seem to be in a hurry. He asks, you know, you guys got somewhere to go? They end up telling him that the day before, they're driving down the switchback. And he was like, I don't want you to think we're crazy, but I saw a Bigfoot yesterday.
Hmm.
And this was, like I said, a couple of weeks ago. And my friend Shane Corson with the Olympic Project actually got the chance to interview the guy. This dude's the foreman of his renovation company. And Shane said the guys on the crew were, you know, giving him the business, saying, ooh, what do you look like, boss? You know, giving him all kinds of, he's like, I don't care what you say. That's what happened. And the weird thing about that is, you would say, well, of course, you know, these people are famous, but they're not. This dude would have no way of knowing who they are, where they are. There would be no connection. Now, again, the last thing that they wanted to do was anybody to know who they were. And in fact, it just so happened that the only reason that we've gotten to the point where I have convinced her to tell her story on camera is because someone was kind of lifting it from her on another podcast. And that one thing that Donna is above anything else, she's a bulldog. And she was like, well, you know, at this point, I don't care anymore. I'm certainly not going to let some tramp steal my story. which is weird. You would not think that anyone would find that entertaining. But I guess there are people who get off on it for whatever reason. You know, they're trying to get a booth at a cryptozoology conference, and then they can get a tight leather hat that has curls on it or whatever. But that is not these people. And so that is where we are at the moment. I actually went back up there last year, just in August, but that couple was living there. We decided it wouldn't be a good idea probably not to go out there. And I've always, from the moment that I've talked to these people, it's like I'm compelled to help them tell their story, because when we're talking about the weird stuff doesn't happen to people anymore like this. When I say something like that, there seems to be this attitude within the quote-unquote Bigfoot community that nobody is really seeing these things, and certainly nobody is experiencing them multiple times. And if you do, you're full of it, because there's no way that's happening. And I don't know why that is, except for the fact that there have been clearly a lot of people who have been off their rocker that were, for whatever reason, trying to get attention to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in this situation, you don't want people to know who you are. You don't want people to, certainly, I mean, it's the worst. I mean, can you think of anything worse to do in your professional career than say, hey, Big Feets is screaming at me? You know, I mean, everyone here, we listen to your show. We love this kind of stuff. But in reality, the real world, quote unquote, people think that you're off your rocker when you say stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate, because just like someone who has had an entity in their house or some really strange paranormal experiences, whether it be ghost, demonic, that stuff is difficult to deal with. And whatever it is that's out there in the world that is affecting humans and certainly causing them to think, man, I can't tell anyone about this because they'll think I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if it's like it gets off on that. It's the idea of isolation.
That
way to isolate a human being. I don't want to get too philosophical here, but when you are talking about demonic cases in houses and possessions and those sorts of things, that's oftentimes the way that an entity will try to take over someone. They will isolate them from their family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying Bigfoot's his demons. Trust me. That's not what I'm saying here.
Thank you for not saying that.
Yes.
there are plenty of people that say that, so I don't need to. I also don't necessarily believe that. I'm making the point that paranormal activity in and of itself, strange occurrences, can isolate folks, because most people don't like to give up that something strange happened to them. The shame, the vulnerability of it in your day-to-day office space lifestyle, they don't like to do it. And I'm sure that there are most people that, again, put on folded leather hats and tight jeans and stuff and go out in the woods and look for things that happened 20 years ago. Those people, they don't want to believe her. And I don't get that, because you're supposed to be into Bigfoot or Sasquatch or whatever. She had two different sightings. They had all kinds of physical things happening at the house. And it's ongoing. And I don't understand how you would leave your dream home, move to another one, and they're carrying two notes. You know, they're paying mortgages on two different places.
Yeah, that sucks.
Right? They don't want this situation. That's the thing. None of it is greedy or look at me. And I looked at it from every angle that I possibly could. But to be honest with you, man, with him being there a couple of days, I couldn't imagine. And this is the Pacific Northwest, so it's raining and people killed themselves and Kurt Cobain music. But that's not the case. Like, it was sunny, it was beautiful, but it was terrifying in a weird way. But terrifying, and I'm really fascinated by the idea of when people say something is creepy, right? And the idea that, what does that mean when you say something's creepy?
To me, it would mean that it kind of gives you chills, it kind of freaks you out a little bit on a level you're not completely conscious of.
Right. So there was this college study. These graduate students did this thing, like, define creepy. What does creepiness mean? And they concluded that creepiness at the end of the day is the unease that is caused by the ambiguity of whether or not there is something to fear. And if you think about that, that's the place that looks completely normal, but something odd happens. Everyone's going to be scared of going to the spooky old cabin in the woods or the haunted mansion.
Sure.
You know, everyone's terrified of that. The island haunted by dolls and all that. Like, obviously, that's terrifying. But what's creepy is when you're somewhere that it is, you don't get a good feeling and you're not exactly sure why. And that's defines this place, because when you look at the pictures of the place, when you go there, like, oh, I mean, it's a dream home. It really is. On 5.5 acres, it's beautiful. And I'm sitting here talking to you guys, man, and I have the chills because I know what it's like to be in that place and the sun is shining and I did not feel comfortable. And I'm not 100% sure of why that is. I mean,
well, you said it mimicked you. That it mimicked your voice when you would come back in and listen to the tape.
Right.
So do you have that recording up anywhere?
Yeah.
That you can, like, is it available easily here where we can play it?
Not too bad here. Hang on just a second. That it's essentially like the Layla, Bridget, different doggy's name.
Because, I mean, that's interesting if it picked it up that quickly.
Oh, you're telling me. So, I'll set this up. I think this is the one, and I'll forward you this after I play. But, yeah, because this is the one I sent to you, Tim, right? The Riley.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's the scene. It's nighttime in the Pacific Northwest. David and I have been there a day, so this is our second night there. And the house is vacant. There's electricity in the house, but not a whole lot of furniture. There was a few things in the back, right? They, like, an office chair that I'd pulled out. But David had a table set up and some computers, and we're just kind of spending our time sitting there, letting the recorder go, talking, catching up. We're friends, but we've never hung out face to face, right? And so we ended up out on the porch, and we were doing this weird, it's so strange. I'll set this up just like this. When we got there that initial night, I took a Bluetooth speaker and I played the podcast that had Donna and Greg on it, on the Bluetooth speaker, down the hill, down into the darkness. Because my thinking was, It seemed like these things were, for whatever lack of a better term, attracted to Donna, right? That there's, and I don't mean that in a weird way. I just mean that the way that the house is, it's got lots of windows, and the tree line is really close and it's really difficult to see into it, it became obvious to me that there seemed to be some sort of viewing situation, like she was living in an aquarium. Mm. And so I thought maybe since she had been gone for 6 months that I'd play her voice and let's see what happens. So we did that and we stopped and I'm talking to David and I'm playing for him a guy that I work with at the radio station doing a fake Donald Trump voice bit. And it was hilarious. We're laughing. We're just cutting up. And I want to make sure that I say this. I didn't see anything. What I saw was movement, almost like darkness on darkness down in the ravine. And so we go from laughing to me just saying, and I just kind of lean back and I'm like, hey, by the way, I just think I saw something down there, but I'm not sure. And David immediately, he's like, well, you know, maybe I should bring, since Layla and Bridget aren't here anymore, which were Don and Greg's dog's name, maybe I should bring Riley and Monty up here, which are his dogs. And he's like, I should bring Riley and Monty. And we go back in and we sit down. We're just within a couple of feet of the deck with the glass door shut and we're talking. And I continued to hear something. And the way that I described it was that it sounded like there was a television on somewhere in a room way far away. But of course, that's impossible because there's no televisions in the house. But I kept turning around and looking over my shoulder, which is to the hall that led through a laundry room, which led outside. And eventually I just told David, hey, I'm sorry, but let's go get that recorder that we have outside. Let's bring it in here, replace it with another one because I'm feeling like I'm going crazy. And David brings it in. And again, 30 minutes before, we ought to bring Riley and Monty up here. And David puts the USB chip in and we play this. So that one's really, really soft.
Yeah. Yeah, you can just faintly hear it.
Yeah. So the Riley one, I know we have a different version of it, but I don't want to spend a lot of time looking for it.
Yeah, that's fine.
But this,
you get the idea.
I definitely think that this, and we did play this on Tim's show, but I think that this just as easily defines what I'm talking about when I'm talking about mimicry. So this is October 27th of 2016. This would have been, so imagine it. I play Donna's voice over the Bluetooth speaker down into the wood line. I feel like I see something. We say the other dog's names. I'm thinking that I'm hearing some stuff. We go back in and we plug the recorder in. And there are a lot of vocal signatures. And we're looking at these through basically a spectrograph where you can kind of see where the vocals are hitting rather than, it's not like we do the whole old school ghost show where you have to have the intern sit there and listen to the thing for 8 hours. Which was always my favorite part of that show where they're just like, they look like they're asleep, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And their head jerks up. I heard a demon. That's not really the way that we do it. David will go through hours of audio in just a few minutes. It's really pretty amazing. He's a genius with it. But this is one of the things that we caught. I'm just going to play this. I'm not going to tell you what you hear. But I do think that it speaks to the idea of, well, you know, Donna and the dogs. One thing Tim pointed out is just the simplicity of the term Layla. It's very, very easy to say.
Yeah.
And you may be able to boost this and make it sound better if you, I'll send you this email. But I mean, to us, that came across as sounding like it's saying, is there Layla?
Yeah. Yeah. Something to that effect. You can definitely hear the Layla.
Right. So the idea that we are interacting with something in the void, whatever it is. I mean, I don't know what it is. Again, I'm going to point out, I never saw a Sasquatch there. I believe that they exist because the basketball mascot is a Sasquatch before they killed the team. And that this woman who I've grown to be really good friends with, and I have no reason to think that she's making this up. It makes no sense as to why she would. Has told me she's seen him twice.
Right.
And some random guy who's working on the house saw one a couple of days ago within 100 yards of where she had her initial sighting. But I don't know what that is. But I do know this. You know, you watch the ghost shows and you see the tight shirts and they're with the playing the whatever, the thing that scans the radio frequencies.
Oh, yeah, the ghost box.
Yeah. And it's like, where's my name? Zach. Whatever. I mean, that's a phenomenon. Whatever. It seems interactive. This thing, this is straight off of a regular Zoom recorder out on the deck. And I don't know how to explain it. And I don't know how to explain to anyone. And it took me quite a while to get around to where I felt comfortable talking about it, because it did not make me feel okay. and I've been in spooky places and I've had strange things happen. There was something weird about the call and response aspect.
Well,
audio.
One of the stories you didn't tell on my podcast, which is maybe a great example of the way this thing works and has an interest in pets, maybe, but also interacts with people and plays with us, is the story about the chicken.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not afraid to tell the chicken story. You want to hear a story about a chicken, Sarah?
Absolutely.
All right. So they have chickens. So the story begins with they have chickens. And Donna has, a barn full of them, fresh eggs and all that. It's the big thing now. But she had one in particular chicken that she called Peep. And Peep was just her boy. And he would jump up and I say chicken. Now I'm assuming it's a woman, but whatever. Right? Chickens are females. Am I wrong about that?
I believe you're correct.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
Chickens are chickens. Hens are females. Roosters
are. Oh, okay. That's what it is.
All right. Well, why don't you go back to the country there, Tim? No, you're right. So anyway, I just felt odd saying it was her gender neutral animal of poultry.
We don't know how the chicken identify.
Right. And we certainly wouldn't want to presume. excuse me. But I'm certain that it laid eggs. So I'm assuming it was a hen named Peep. And okay. I know I'm laughing, but Peep would jump up on Donna's shoulders. Like jump up on her shoulder and sit there while she's feeding the other chickens, while she's feeding the goats. And this is really strange. But one day, Peep is gone. And Donna called David and said, guess what? My chicken's gone. Peep is gone. And I mean, she's at the barn. All the rest of the chickens are there. Just hers in particular is gone. Now, this is one of the reasons why I admire David Ellis, because I couldn't imagine to myself coming up with these words. But he said, now listen to me, Donna. This is going to sound crazy, but you might as well try it. Go down there to the wood line and say, hey, I want my chicken back. If it's eggs that you're looking for, whatever, I'll give you eggs, but I want my chicken back. Now that sounds insane. And Donna told me that, yes, in fact, she felt crazy, but she did as he instructed. And within 12 hours, Peep was back. Peep was back in the barn. Now, chickens are amazing creatures, regardless of gender. But for this chicken to open the barn door and get in its thing, I mean, that's strange. So here's a really weird thing. And this is the kind of stuff with this place that bends my head back. She takes a bowl, a regular glass bowl, and she put 3 fresh eggs in the bowl. The next morning, 2 of the eggs are gone, and in the bowl is a perfectly cracked egg. And on the ground, anywhere around, there is no shell.
Okay. And if Joshua were here, he would point out something in fairy lore that's exactly like that.
Oh, I'm sure he would. Yeah, absolutely. They left it an offering is what she did.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now that's crazy. I haven't really heard that before, but that's interesting that you say that, because David has told me before that in interactions with these creatures that they never take everything. They always leave something.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a bait and switch all the time, but that they wouldn't take everything. They weren't greedy, if that makes sense. And you're telling us that this is a thing with the fairies as well.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of Bigfoot stuff that connects to fairy lore.
Yeah, yeah.
As weird as that is.
No, I mean, it makes, it oddly enough, it makes sense. I mean, these are creatures of the forest and woodland dwellings. And I mean, I'm not saying Bigfoot is fairy. Please don't
right,
email.
Right.
But
it there's is, connections.
Yeah, it is strange that there would be a connection.
Yeah, I mean, there's this drum beat that just runs through folklore, you know, going back as far as we can reach. And you know, that's just one of the drum beats, leaving out food offerings for things.
Well, and not only that, but so much of this reeks of poltergeist activity.
Right. Yes. Right. And speaking of that, Shane Corson is sort of, in the adventurer way that he is, since the property, though it is currently for sale, everyone involved looks at this place as a gold mine. If you're into investigating weird things, it just is that way. And Shane, because of the job that he has, is afforded the ability to take the long drive up north a little bit and hang out there or drop off a recorder. And that a few nights ago, he was asleep. Shane's a beast. He was sleeping down at the wood line, heard something come up the ravine, go back down the ravine, heard something come back up, acting very strange for just a regular animal, that for there's nothing there in the ravine for you to get. There's no food. There's no, right? It's not like there's a deer feeder that's a raccoon would be trying to get to. Certainly not a rabid raccoon. It was, it was like this back and forth with it. And Shane would get up and start to try to therm the tree line, and the woods are really, really, really thick. So the next morning, 6:30 or so, he's hacking the tent up, and from what we call the sniper's nest, because of this little weird area where you can stand there and see the house and be really close to it, and if you're in the house, you can't see someone standing there. He's been over with his back to the wood line, and he hears something land close to him, turns his phone on, turns around with a video camera, and didn't capture the object coming in, but there's another one. So it's like 1-2. And it's, again, from right there. And he ran over there. Nothing. It's weird that you said the poltergeist activity, because I find that fascinating, too, with the whole rock throw thing.
Well, everything down to the repetition, the mimicry. I mean, you get that in poltergeist and ghost cases.
Right. And I have feelings on that as well. I mean, I don't know. And I don't want to assume anything. But I will tell you this. Like I said, I know that she has physically seen these creatures there before. I also know that the area has a history of weirdness, and there seems to be a connection with, you said, fairy stuff, kind of a native lore about that particular area. And it's, I don't think that it's necessarily all physical. I definitely think that there are things there that cannot just be attributed to a physical creature in the woods. And we called it the Devil's Creek for a reason. Going back for forever, these places through native lore, Skookum Valley, Hollow, Bluff, Devil's River, Creek, Valley. Those were always associated with, the natives would name those places that way because they were kind of saying, don't go there.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that then when the pale skins come in and they move to those places, strange, odd, weird, scary stuff happens at those locations. That's why we call this place Devil's Creek. And I think there's a feeling, which is really odd to me within the Bigfoot community, that if you're, hey, it's just a monkey in the woods, and then you try to tell them that you heard a ghost or something, and they're like, you're crazy. And well, nothing has ever blown me away more than having someone who's like, Bigfoot exists, but you're crazy for thinking that in that house. I'm like, I mean, we could laugh for hours about that. That is insanity personified. I'm not trying to make fun of people who feel that way. I appreciate it.
Well, no, but it's the fact that the UFO people think the Bigfoot people are crazy. The Bigfoot people think the ghost hunters are crazy. And the ghost hunters think the UFO people are crazy. And it's just this circle where no one's really getting anything done.
What is the deal with all of these folks? Well, I mean, honestly, and I don't think I'm going to do it. I think Tim needs to do it. But somebody needs to do a Trekkies-style documentary about everything we just discussed right there. Because it's fascinating. And I, at the end of the day, I enjoy the story aspect of things.
Sure.
I guess probably more than anything is the fact that the story is so wide and weird that I don't know what to think about it. Now, before we, what else did I do here? Let me see. Before we get too far away, I'm sorry, I was away from the mic. Before we, I want to play
a couple other of these clips, because a couple of these we've never played before.
Okay.
Give me 2 seconds as I'm pulling it back up, because I had a little swip swap.
Now, have you had any mimicry at Site 7, Tim?
No.
Okay. I don't think so.
Well, unless, like, there's been... there were so many screech owls out there, and when we first went out, like, an insane amount of screech owls, like, just constant screech owls. You could just hear screech owls constantly. And some of them just sounded a little off. Mm-hmm. So there were some that we were like, is that something mimicking a screech owl, or is that a screech owl? But there's, you know, it's hard to say. I mean,
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. So I'm going to play a couple of different clips with this one in particular. If you, if people are catching up on the story, and there's I've put out a few, about this place, because again, there's so much different evidence that we've captured. This voice in particular, I mean, I'll just play it. Sarai, you can tell me what you would name this clip if you heard it.
Okay.
I'll just go ahead and tell everyone that is looped. So
yeah.
What's going on there?
I can't quite make out what it's saying, but it's definitely interesting.
So it's actually labeled Whoopi or Wookie.
Yeah, it could Whoopi, right. Definitely.
It definitely sounds like it's. So the weird thing is, this audio file right here is from November of 2014, and last week that voice showed up on Shane's recorder again while he was at the creek. And then this one, I don't think we've played this at all, and this is weird.
Yeah, that's definitely a creepy one.
And then this would be from the same even. Let's see. Holy crap. No. Okay. So that one we just played is November 26th, 2014. And this is December 19th of 2014. There's some similarities there. That was like multiples. There was there was multiple things going on there. So there's this. This is weird, because that whole sing-songy thing, you mentioned that earlier too.
Yeah.
That's really strange, right? So I don't know how many people know about the NAWAC, which is a research group they're out of Texas, but they are investigating, and have been for a long time, the Ouachita Mountain Range, which is in eastern Oklahoma. And this goes back to any fans of the old Bigfoot show. That was Brian Brown. That's his thing. Well, there's this one weird, really strange item that I heard from those guys. And these are dudes that are, that thing is an ape, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the guys who's in the group, he reported, and I can't imagine the looks on the faces of
some of these guys in this group are no nonsense, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He reported hearing what sounded like an angelic choir in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, right there next to his tent.
That's not, I mean, that's rare. Don't get me wrong. It's super rare.
You're going to be like, that's no big deal.
But, like, I've heard it before. I've heard it. I've heard it associated with a good friend of mine. He saw orbs in Hex Hollow here, and it was accompanied by that angelic singing.
Really? But,
oh, yeah, yeah. And then there's been a number of Bigfoot witnesses who have actually reported that. It's like they call it like the rarest of all Bigfoot vocalizations. It's like the, you know, like the Holy Grail when you hear that one, supposedly. But it has been reported. I mean, people have noted it around, at least in the area they've seen Bigfoot. You know, that's the thing with all this stuff. No one's seen Bigfoot make a wood knock, to my knowledge. No one's seen him build a stick structure. No one's seen him do any of these vocalizations. By him, I mean the whole species, whatever they are.
Right, right.
They just happen in the same places that people see Bigfoot, and we assume, you know, it must be Bigfoot. We don't know, you know, we don't know for sure. But yeah, that weird like angelic singing, it is reported.
Really strange. And I would like to just take a second and just tell you, man, that. The whole reason that I'm talking this place up the way that I am is we're essentially going to do some movie making up there.
Yeah, let's talk about that because we're starting to run low on time.
Sure. Like I said, Donna reached a point earlier in the year, not long ago, where she was kind of the mind of, screw it, I want to get my story out there, and whatever it is that we can do that. And we started picking this up out of nowhere. I knew some people, I know some people in the media industry and friends here who, when I wanted to do, if I was going to be involved in making a film about this place, a documentary telling their story, I wanted it to be different than anything else that's out there, because the story is different than anything else that's out there. There is precedent for the fact that, again, it's occurring right now. But the strange thing is, like I said, they're carrying two notes on this house. The house is for sale. And there have been offers on the house. So there's this sort of time crunch where I got a few people that were, we could probably make this happen if we got to this level. We started a GoFundMe page. We had a really good response. People have been amazing in helping us get the word out. And our whole thing right now, this is the way that I'm looking at it. We're leaving on the 28th of this month to go up there. I've got a crew of amazing people. I have no idea how I've stumbled upon these folks. The crazy thing is, these people, they have nothing to do with the weird or the paranormal. Everyone that hears the story is fascinated by it, because at the end of the day, when you hear Donna's voice and you realize who she is, it's compelling.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell she's not laying donuts out there and then taking a Walmart camera and getting blob squatch photos. She's just not that person. And so we have this really weird thing where it always feels like time is running out. Now, and there was, again, a couple that was there for almost a year. And during that time, nobody was really... You know, the couple that was there, they didn't know anything about all this. I will tell you this. All I know, Donna told me there was an issue with their chickens. I'll just say that. I don't know the details of that story. That's the only thing that she told me. There were other issues with these people, but that's a separate thing. But there was nobody there actively reporting, documenting anything. So these people leave, And the few of us that have got the chance to go up there, we're kind of like, let's see what's happening. And again, it's a lot of the same activity, weird stuff. So our idea is to, I want to make a documentary telling her story, giving people the chance to see this place. And it is visually stunning, and there are some very interesting things about the land surrounding it. And we do have a website. It's devilscreekfilm.com. If you're interested in following along, or if you're interested in helping us out, it's an ongoing campaign. It's not a Kickstarter thing where we're promising to give you belt buckles of Sasquatch for your donation. It's not like that, because at the moment our concern is to make the best product possible. And we have award-winning film crew going with us, and we have post-production to think about. We're going to spend a few days up there, shoot it like a documentary. We're going to have some cameras rolling. We're not going to run down into the woods and night vision goggle it. That's not the idea. At the same time, we are going to have a crew of people there that I'm almost just as fascinated to see these people that are not into this stuff experience this place, because mm-hmm. I think that'll be just as interesting, right? So that is what we're doing. Our film is called The Devil's Creek. And again, everything on social media, it's devilscreekfilm.com. And we put out a podcast today. I guess it wouldn't be today. But anyway, we put out our last podcast was an update of the project and the activity at the location. And I really appreciate the opportunity to share this thing with people, because I'm fascinated by it. And I would love to hear what people think. We've played a lot of audio on our show. We have much more, obviously more than I can handle. And and I'm always interested in ideas, what people are thinking. I'm very open-minded, and I'm not afraid to discuss theories about what's happening. So I welcome it. So I appreciate anyone that shows interest. Obviously, if you could throw us some coin, that'd be great. But even if you just want to follow along, check us out, man.
Cool.
Is that enough?
I want to keep you around just a little bit to do a Patreon segment, if you're okay with that.
For sure, man.
Because I still have some more questions for you, and I want to make some comparisons here to Site 7. So give people the website one more time.
Yeah, so it is devilscreekfilm.com. Our podcast is okay, like just the letters okay. Again, we're not from Oklahoma. I just like confusing people. Okay Talk. Podcast.com. The only reason we called it Okay Talk was because that was the first thing that I said into the microphone, because we were testing the microphones, man. We were in different... I said, Okay Talk. Let me see if I got you. If I got this line. And there we go. So.
All right.
That's who we are. I'm Clint Mass, my co-host, and come and find us. I really enjoy also discussing all this weird stuff with the people out there.
And I want to give an extra special thanks to some people who have gone above and beyond helping me out recently. Allison Cook, Dominic O'Malley, and Arif Akhtar, as well as all the patrons pledging $10 or more, Super Inframan, Andy McNamara, Charles Beauregard, Craig Cisternos, Scott Morris Everett, Matthias Sunby, Robert Groom, Riker and Stark, Russell Wilcoxon, Sasha Lorg, Christopher Vaughn, Samantha, Carla Mahoney, John Eddy, Chris, Mark Brady, James Hughes, William Lovelace, Patricia Gaiaquinta, Kevin Schreck, Alex Bose, and Alfred Tuttle. Thank you all so very much. All right, I hope you enjoyed that. There's actually a Patreon extra segment. I think we talk for another hour about this stuff and go into a bunch of other stuff as well. That'll be up later in the week for Patreons.
And if you want to become a Patreon, go to the website, wheredidtheroadgo.com. All right. We're going to take you out with some Craft of Unknown Origin off the Carnival Grounds EP. We're going to hear Strange Occurrences. I think that's fitting, right? Okay. See you next time. We'll be right back. have been listening to Where Did the Road Go? This show is made possible in part from our Patreons, and we thank you and everyone listening for helping us continue this exploration of the strange. You can always find everything Where Did the Road Go related at www.wheredidtheroadgo.com. And thank you so much for your support.